And the red light's on, and my lord, we're happy. We've just been speaking with Pierre Codger and learning about Algerian cuisine. Tick. That was kind of fun. But the great thing is that looking across from me, beaming because of the glorious day, we've got Danny Verlander. Very good afternoon to you, and happy spring.
Oh, thank you. It is so beautiful out there. And I did see some marathon completists walking around the streets.
With looking that smug.
Yeah, hey. Smug but slightly wobbly.
Oh, wobbly.
So good
smug.
For them.
Endorphin rush, I think, is the one that's happening. Dare I say it, Danny, you had a little bit of an endorphin rush where it kind of went to your head. The celebration of the pitta that happened down at Misnon.
Yeah.
And that ain't no misnomer.
Wow, you're working it, Cam.
Well, it just happened. I don't know. It just fell out of me.
Okay, so
what's going on? Tell us about it.
Misnon is a new restaurant in Hardware Lane in the city. It opened at the end of August.
Hardware Lane's really coming along, isn't it?
Well, it's in that spruiking bit of Hardware Lane where there are guys with menus trying to lure you into their restaurants. But
which should be avoided at all costs,
I believe
it must
so.
Be said.
I think so.
No, it just nailed the colours to the mast. If someone's going to pay a wage to someone to put it out the front to say, try the thing, don't do it. Chin chin. There's just the opposite of that. People line up for days because of word of mouth.
Absolutely.
Someone's paying a wage to someone, keep walking, but there's a reason to walk into Hardware Lane other than Kirk's.
Yes, there's some great, look, there are some good places there, but I suppose the reason I wanted to chat about Misnon is that I think it's great, but we were chatting and I've been writing my Sunday Age column for more than a decade, so every week for 10 years, a little bit more, I've been writing a restaurant review in the Sunday Age.
And it's a few notches in the gun there, so, you know.
Yeah.
And
this is the first time I've ever given 5 out of 5 stars.
Boom. Matt Stedman writing furiously at that. Lord, hold the presses, stop the presses. What pushes something into a perfect score? I thought a perfect score was it's like unobtainium.
Yeah. Well, I think.
What did it?
What
pushed it over the line?
Are you going to let me say?
Okay.
So I suppose what it opened up for me is a broader discussion about, you know, what do scores mean, and can you really score a restaurant anyway, and is there anything that's ever perfect? And that's probably a no. But I think my thing with scoring restaurants is that you take a place on its own terms. And I think I've rarely come across a restaurant that inhabits its own identity as completely, fully and exuberantly as Misnon does.
Please elaborate.
So Misnon is the 6th restaurant in a group of restaurants that started in Tel Aviv in Israel in 2007. Its spiritual leader, its pitta preacher, is a guy called Eyal Shani, an Israeli chef. And Misnon is a loose party that happens to serve food. The food is very simple, very delicious. It is not fine dining. This is a do not wear your best clothes because you're going to have tahini dripping down to your elbows kind of restaurant.
And I love the fact there's a line within your review where you talk about the song lines of cooking. About recipes, but not specific. It's not an operations manual, they do.
Yeah, correct.
So it's a vibe.
Exactly. So Eyal Shani talks about, he doesn't give his cooks recipes, but he tells them the story of the dish.
Such as?
So I think, what can we talk about? So, I mean, the most famous dish at Misnon is the cauliflower. So they do a whole roasted cauliflower. And I think the story that, I mean, I don't want to presume, but I believe the story is along the lines of, the cauliflower is like the brain of the vegetable animal, and it is honored through a gentle massaging with olive oil, a sprinkling with salt. It is boiled and then it is roasted. It is coaxed to deliciousness, to amazing, perfect collapse. Carving it is an event, as it might be to carve a Sunday roast. So I think there's a whole lot of threads to that. There is this idea of vegetables as an event.
And that's not unprecedented in this town. If we think of Embla and the roasted broccoli that was happening.
Absolutely. I think Melbourne is a town that loves its vegetables.
Yeah.
So I think this is part of a bigger story that's playing out where vegetables are being honoured in new ways, and I think that is fantastic. Meat is served at this restaurant, but it is a lesser player, so you could easily eat there as a vegetarian or indeed a vegan. And that is something that I think in a subtle way this restaurant and many others is pushing, that you don't need to have a big hunk of meat to call it dinner.
There is an exuberance at this place from what I can get from what I'm sort of absorbing from this article. There's horns being blowed. There's
tambourines. There's people walking around with trays of shots. And as I say in my review...
Whoa, hang about. Trays of shots.
Yeah. Not sure if this is an RSA-approved tray of shots, but...
But we're talking about shots of Iraq, yeah?
Yeah, or vodka or whiskey. I mean, not top-shelf stuff either. Just, you know, I guess it's all about... It's a place where if you're there and if you're in the spirit of it, and it might not be a restaurant for everybody, but if you're going along for the ride, then you are warmly welcomed into this communal experience, into this party. Now, I am not a person that loves audience participation.
He said, first of all, noise, audience participation, or I don't do shots.
I don't.
What you said.
But I love the noise of Ms.
Non.
Did. I knocked back a couple of shots of Arak, you know, just to see what it was like.
I don't know. And we're talking about probably, I'm thinking maybe like a 15 mil shot.
Oh, look, it's not like full.
It's
not cowboy style shots.
No.
The other interesting thing about this restaurant is that most of the seats are bleacher style, so overlooking the kitchen, just wooden steps, very casual. So there's kids up there, there's people on dates, there's, you know, whole family.
It's a kitchen coliseum.
You have nailed it, absolutely. So it's just a fun place to check out. I think it's a great addition to Melbourne's incredibly vibrant dining scene. And I just was so swept up in it that I felt motivated to, for the very first time, Danny, just use the stars.
Use the stars, Luke.
I said to myself.
Yeah, and it just happened. You said, no, this...
I was like, what am I faulting here? What am I taking a point away for? And nothing came to mind.
Wow. And all right, well, then that begs the question, and this is sort of like, you know, the Reader's Digest quest answer. How do you normally do your reviews and your critiques?
Okay. Well, I suppose I start first by looking at the great map of Melbourne and trying to go a little bit north, south, east, west and central, and just sort of covering all those geographic bases, because Melbourne's a big, sprawling city. So
huge.
I do that. I try to cover different price points. So I'm lucky with my Sunday Edge column that I can do everything from, you know, breakfast to fine dining. So I can cover the gamut, which is a privilege.
That's cute.
So I try to cover a range of cuisines, a range of price points, a range of occasions, and I also theme my column. So, for example, today's review of Madras Brothers in Smith Street, Fitzroy. My theme is courtyards because they've got a lovely beer garden there. But I'm also, I suppose, covering that base of going to Fitzroy, which, you know, is often done in restaurant land.
So the first criteria, to paraphrase, is you want to look at everything, and so everything's available for you to have a look at.
Absolutely. Now, most critics skew towards the new. I try to also give places that have been around for a while a lot of love, because I think restaurants that have been doing their thing for a while.
So you're not like the moths that go to the next brightest light.
I'm drawn to the flame like everybody, but I try to, you know, put on my glasses and turn my head. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, just give a lot of – there's so many great restaurants that have been doing what they're doing for more than 5 minutes, and I love to shine a light on those as well.
And they need to be celebrated as well. So then you go into a place, you obviously look around, you use all your senses, I would imagine.
I'm not sure how much touch I use when I first walk in, maybe just gently caressing a banquette.
Tell you what, here's one that I always do. One of the first things I always do is I pick up the fork.
Oh.
And I look and I go, yeah, it's a good fork. Yeah, it's got a bit of heft to it. So
definitely.
There's a bit of touch.
That's true.
If you're in one of those, we're talking Old Testament places now, if we look at stuff, the tablecloth, the napery.
Yeah, yeah.
No,
we do use all the senses.
Yep.
Take it all in. And I suppose, again, it's that thing of taking a restaurant on its own terms. So my first question to myself is always, what is this restaurant trying to be? Are they succeeding on their own terms?
Yep.
Because there is no point going to a restaurant like Ms. Non, for example, and saying, where are those white tablecloths?
Yeah,
like, that is not what they're about. In fact, they don't even really have forks.
Dude, you missed
the
point.
You're going to have to just gently weigh a napkin in your hand to do your fork test at Ms. Non.
And I'd even probably say it'd be a serviette, not a napkin.
I think it would be a number of thin serviettes that you'll be using one after another to wipe up that tahini.
Sounds good. So, okay, so... the criteria is, what are they offering? How successful are they in offering that? there's a lot of things that you have to consider about a restaurant, isn't there?
There is. I mean,
it's insane.
Yeah. I mean, restaurants are mood pieces, I guess. So we're certainly looking at the food, but we're, I think, more looking at how the overall experience makes a person feel. I think that's why we go to restaurants.
And whether, whether it hurts you in your back pocket, is that worth it to be hurt in the back pocket?
Sure.
How happy are the staff is always really, really important.
Yeah. Do you feel comfortable? I think that's a big question for me is, you know, is the restaurant doing everything it can do to make you feel at home, and just putting that smile on your face with all the different elements of what they do, and that is, I guess, all the things that they do with five senses.
And in regards to Miznon, which has been given an unprecedented five stars, first time in goodness knows how long. Well, actually, you told me it was about how many years?
More than ten plus years.
That is incredible. There is a really great picture in on your article, which has this pita, and it looks like a rack of lamb.
Yeah.
And the first thing I did when I first, before I read the article, I went, well, that's just stupid, because how are you going to eat around that lamb rack? But what happened?
So the idea with that pita with a bone, as they call it, is that you can just pull that bone right out.
Because it's been braised.
It's been braised to absolute surrender. And I think what they're trying to do there is help get you to participate in your meal. So it is that getting messy. It is feeling how tender the meat is before you even get it into your mouth. So it's really simple, but I think it's really clever.
That's so effective because it sets up such a delicious expectation, wouldn't it?
When totally.
You, just by doing that, go,
that's right.
Oh, my God, this is going to be good.
Yeah, that's right. And then you almost fall into it as you take that first bite. So
I love it. All right, so there it is, folks. It's happened. Finally, who thought it would? And Hardware Lane, here's another great reason to go to Hardware Lane. And as I said before, just as an opinion that any place that has someone with a menu out the front, keep walking.
Yep.
Okay, agreed. There's been an interesting thing that's been happening over the week where there have been people from all over the world, food buyers, booze buyers, people that have been interested in food from other places.
Yeah, it's been, it's called Food and Beverage Trade Week. It's run by the Victorian government, and it wasn't something I was aware of until this week when I was just called in to MC a couple of events for them. And I know you were involved as well, leading some of these delegates around on Tuesday night, Cam.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was a really interesting event, and for me it showed the food industry in a new light, something that from my sort of consumer and journalist point of view I hadn't really thought about much.
Such as?
So we had delegates from 19 different countries, mostly in Asia, and they were hand-picked by embassy staff and trade people working in the area of trade.
Curated.
Yes, they were curated.
Yes.
They were especially invited, and they were matched up with export-ready Victorian food and beverage producers. So, and these also were hand-selected.
So, some really interesting people, weren't they?
Yeah, so, you know, supermarket owners in Myanmar, people running fancy delis in Vietnam. Mm. People
buying stuff from Qatar.
Right. Yeah. So, like, people that are really interested in Victorian yogurt. So I guess the words clean and green were things that we heard a lot. So the Australian
and why not?
Victorian government is promoting our produce as clean, green, and, you know, ready for export.
Works for me. Gets a big tick from me, and it's an easy thing to be able to shout from the rooftop, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. But I think it was, you know, I think often when you think about government, well, I don't know what you think about. You just think about, you know, people arguing and seeing people being disappointing on
this
the news.
Is, yep.
And for me, it was just, I really appreciated, as a taxpayer as much as anything else, seeing people working really hard to promote the things that we celebrate in our own different ways, Cam, and get them out there to the world in a different way.
I agree with you, Danny. Government, the political process can be infuriating. And yet, this is where we actually see elected representatives doing really good things for the population.
Yeah, so it's certainly the elected representatives, but also the public servants who are the ones that I engage
well
with
put.
Most often.
Actually,
and it was it's the department, so it's the Department of Economic Development and Trade and Tourism and basically pretty much everything.
And agriculture too.
Yeah, so it's a department with many little sub areas, but
that's
it
well
was.
Put.
Yeah, I mean, I liked it. So, for example, on Tuesday, there was Industry Beans, coffee guys, Mork chocolate, and Yarra Valley Tea Company presenting, doing little showcases of their products to some of these buyers. And it was just, I don't know, it's just cool for them to be able to present what they do, what they work so hard at, to people who might take it to the world.
A valid showcase.
Yeah, I thought it was really good.
Very, very much. And I would actually say, if there are people that are listening that are part of the food industry and they want to get involved in, well, this lobbying effort for their produce and the state, who should they get in touch with?
Oh, my goodness, I don't know.
Probably Victoria. Well, yeah. look Victoria, and business
economic development. I don't work for them. I was just reeled in, and I was like, wow, this is a really nice new spin for me on this world. This is the fifth time they've done this Food and Beverage Trade Week, so it's not new to a lot of people, but it was new to me, and I just loved having a little bit of insight into it.
What you doing on the show, though?
I've got to get some of this sunshine, but yeah. I'm off to Tassie tomorrow, so I think I've got to leave a bit of food for the fam behind me, so I'll have to...
You're going
to
do some cooking.
Well, at least buy a box of strawberries. I can promise that.
I thought you were going to say you're going to do what Matt's doing, because he's going home. He's going to cook
cooking.
Bolognese. What are you doing?
And Vindaloo.
Yeah.
Can you just send some of that over my way?
Yeah, sure. No worries.
Well, thanks, Matt.
Stick it in the Uber.
All right, I'm going to Tasmania. Here's a strawberry. That's really good of you, Danny.
That's parenting, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, there's sugar on it, isn't there? There is. Very quickly, what are you doing in Taz?
I'm doing cooking classes, so supporting my latest cookbook with a really fun...
What's your latest cookbook?
It's called Entertaining with Danny Vallant. And
it's nothing to do with an appliance, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But it's got great recipes for everyone.
And that is true. They're always good to see. Keep up the great work that you do with Sunday Age. You always bring a little bit of sunshine when you come into the studio, Danny. Thank you very, very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me, guys.
Matt's got a piece of paper. I know this. I could see this in my peripheral vision.
Coming up next on Sunday Lunch.
Oh, yes. What?
Cameron. Subversive Melbourne. So Jess and Nova still filling in on Sunday Lunch.
Love it.
Today's topic is queer rebellion. And we look forward to the day when that won't be rebellious.
Yes.
Hopefully sometime fairly shortly.
Goodness me, can we just get it over and done with?
Yes.
12:59.
Next week, very quickly.
Bloody hell.
Sorry.
What's next week? We've got... we've got the owner of the Moldy Fig. Have you been to the Moldy Fig?
Mm-mm.
Interesting place, just around the corner here. A person who wrote in and had a great deal of heart and soul about Cajun cuisine. Mm. So we're going to have a bit of talk about that. And also someone that sounds vaguely like she should be from New Orleans, Hannah Dupree from
Storming the Teacup.
Thank you very, very much. We're going to talk tea. That's happening next week. We're over time.
We should go.
Thanks again for coming in, Danny.
See you next time.
Thank you, Matt.
Thank you, Kenny.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. We'll see you next week. Bye.